What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode. I got Julia Otest. Julia, you're an entrepreneur. Yes. And tell me a little bit about the industry that you're in and what you decided to pursue.
Yeah, so I have a business in gut health, gut and emotional health for women. I'm changing it a bit now in the format and the way that I do it, but it's basically a program that teaches you what creates or what causes gut inflammation, and then also to heal your relationship with your body as a woman. A lot of women are disconnected, and to heal your relationship with food so that you're not constantly in the like guilt, binge, deprive cycle. Yeah.
That's an awesome industry, very needed in today's world with how poisonous our food is and how little, I guess there's a lot more awareness that's coming out about it as of recently, but how'd you get into that?
Well, I got super sick myself. And then, for 2 years, I was super duper sick. I had hives all over my body.
Oh, no.
I had like swelling in random places every day. Just like panic attacks, anxiety, like all kinds of bad stuff, migraines, everything, bloat. And then, excuse me, it's okay. Doctors weren't able to help me at all. So for like 2 years, I just went from doctor to doctor. And then I realized I needed to find a better way. And I had already kind of like gotten tired of being, even before I got sick, because it was really sudden. But I was already like, you know, constantly overweight, kind of fighting, you know, getting fatter because I was working out a lot. But like, I didn't realize it was the food that I was taught to eat. And then I was bloated, I had migraines, I had all these things. And I was like, why? Like, I'm healthy, I'm young, like, why? Mm-hmm. So I had already started looking at food, but it took me like 2 years of being debilitatingly sick. And then I like figured it out. I tried everything. I like tried every diet. I tried like every, like outside the system doctors, you know, like there's Dr. like Weil and there's like all these, you know, alternative options. So I tried everything. And then I found something that works. And then it also is super anti-aging. So people always think I'm younger than I am because I just don't eat inflammatory things, which means that my system can run at its best. So I just healed myself, and then people, it just like grew super organically because people just noticed I looked better and felt better. And then a lot of my first clients, even for like, I was doing high ticket initially, like, and one-on-one coaching before I created a group program so I could serve more people. A lot of the people were actually like people I knew back in childhood or like grade school because they just like, you know, we stayed in touch on Facebook or whatever, and they saw that I was progressing normally in terms of aging and like gaining weight. And people are like, oh, when you hit 30, like, you know, your body stops functioning. Yeah. Like you get all this like pain and you get fat and whatever, you start looking old. And they saw me like reverse that. Like anytime I show anyone a photo of me from my 20s, they're like, you look older than now. And I'm 39 now. And it's
that's
like,
crazy.
So they were just like, teach me. And then it just naturally snowballed into like, I helped a little over 200 women in like a group program format. And now we'll talk about it, I'm sure, but I got burnt out because I wasn't saved. And then now I'm reformatting into a more accessible like price point as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think like it's cool. Recently been talking to a lot more people who kind of stumbled into their careers and stumbled into their businesses, either through a passion or through, you know, in your case, like disease, right? But yeah, but I think of like when I was younger, and a lot of people that are trying to figure out what they want to do, and it's like, you know, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to be in business, but I don't know where to start. Did you always know that you had like? Did you always have that entrepreneurial spirit, or you know, you wanted to work for yourself, or how did that start for you?
Yeah, I feel like I've lived like 5 different lives and I've had like different careers. So initially, I switched my major 3 times in college because I did zoology and then microbiology, like micro and cellular biology, whatever it's called. Because first I love animals. So I thought I wanted to be a vet. And then I was like, I don't know if I can handle animals dying all the time. Yeah. And then I wanted to be a stem cell researcher. So I always knew I wanted to help people in some way, but then I just didn't love it. So then I hit on psychology. And so I really enjoyed that because it allowed me to understand myself better and people better. And I feel like I've always been like devoted to helping people in some format. But then I went to grad school for psychology. I completed undergrad. I was always really good at school.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was always like easy. So I went to grad school. I completed undergrad in 3 years, went to grad school when I was 20. Quit grad school 3 years in, actually, because tech started booming in San Francisco where I grew up. Mm. And I was like, I'm tired of like not making money and I want to make money.
I know.
Yeah. So then I went into tech. I taught myself how to code. I'd worked at law firms. They hired me when I was a freshman in high school at a law firm. So I was like a law clerk and there was a paralegal.
You're a hustler.
You've I know. Yeah. Well, I'm an immigrant. So like, I think the immigrant mentality of my parents raised me to, mm-hmm. like I started making my own money when I was 14, but it was like at a law firm, like an official job, you know, like,
yeah.
which I think is rare when you're like a teenager. But I loved it. I also like love math. I love like being studious. I love textbooks. I love like law was really fun for me.
Yeah.
Cause there's just a lot of technicality. So I worked for law firms all through high school, undergrad, and graduate school, like for almost 10 years, I think. And yeah, I was a hustler, I guess. I've never like used that as my identity, but I guess
you
so.
Were. What was your like? What was your state, like your emotional state when you're going through all this, trying to figure it out? Are you enjoying it, the process, mm-hmm. Or were you stressed out?
No, I loved it. I was always super driven. Back then, I feel like there was a lot less opportunity. Like, I don't know if, like, young people these days understand. Like, you can literally go online and just make money, like, print money. And that wasn't, like, the case back then. So I was always creative. Like, I kind of wanted to go into photography. So that was always, like, a side hustle for me. And that's what I ended up doing when I quit tech after, like, doing really well in tech and making it up in the ranks and, like, succeeding or whatever. It never felt like enough, so I always like ended up doing something else. But like back then, like if you wanted to be a photographer, you had to go to school for photography. It was like super old school, right?
Right.
It was pre-social media, pre-cell phones. Whoa.
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 A long time ago.
I know, dinosaurs were around. But anyway, so there's just way less opportunities. So it was really exciting for me. I loved every part of it. I like worked, I started like just doing HR in tech because I didn't have a background in it. And I like basically like taught myself how to code. Like as soon as I had an opening in like account management, I was like me.
Yeah.
I was always like really, I guess, pushy or masculine. But like for me, it was just aggressive, fun. Aggressive. Yeah. Well, I felt like I was in my masculine because of a lot of factors. But yeah, aggressive for sure. Because I also really like systems and improving systems. And I always see where there's like, you know, people doing the same thing twice or like,
yeah.
you know, I always want to like improve the process. So then I just kept jumping in and offering help. And I just like made my way up. When I left 7 years later, tech,
yeah.
I was like making well over six figures and in the director level.
It and sounds like all of those experiences, mm-hmm. all those hustles and side mm-hmm. hustles that you went through before you found what your passion, you know, you'd say that you're passionate about what you do now.
Yeah, but yeah. it took God's restoring.
We'll get to that.
Yeah,
we'll get
to that.
But it sounds like all of those experiences that you went through put you in a position and gave you the experience that you needed to be successful in what you're doing now, right?
Yeah, 100%. All I feel like was so step by step because then when I quit tech, I was already doing photography on the side and then I made that my full-time business. And then once social media was there, I was just like, let's go all in on this. And I started doing like influencer work and just creative work, content creation. And yeah, like, helping manage other people's businesses obviously helped me manage my own. And like, I didn't even realize like how much knowledge I had about business.
Yeah.
And then I hired a coach when I wanted to build like a true online business and that's scalable. So then she helped me so much. So yeah, it was just, there's a lot of opportunity out there. Yeah.
I think the biggest thing that I would tell my younger self is that you're on the right track and just to enjoy the process because I, unlike you, was not enjoying the process.
Aww.
I was very much so I wanted to figure out what I was going to do and where I was going to end up.
Yeah.
And so it was very, like a lot of anxiety, but similar to you, like all those experiences mm-hmm. that I had, all the different jobs and careers. And I was like trying this out, going into this, opening this business, failing at this.
Yeah.
But you know, once I finally got to the place where I was going to, where I was going to make money, like mm-hmm. all those experiences came in hand. So I think
yeah.
one thing I would say is not to be in a rush.
Yeah.
You know, with our culture on social media today, everybody looks like they are doing
it. They're winning.
Yeah. They're winning at yeah. such a young age.
Yeah.
Whereas, first of all, it might not even be true. I think for nine out of 10 people, it's not, it's right? Not. 9 out of 10 people that look successful online are faking it. Mm-hmm. And so when we're comparing ourselves to these people, we're super unhappy with where we're at mm-hmm. in life instead of mm-hmm. understanding, like, this is exactly where God has me right now. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't, then I would be somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
That's something that I've had to constantly remind myself of.
Yeah.
Time and time again, like, this is where God has me. My journey is not the same as the next guy's yeah. journey. It's so easy to compare.
Yeah.
I have so many friends that are younger than me that are yeah. a lot more successful and monetarily successful yeah. than I am, and it's so easy to compare and say, hey, like, I'm not doing enough. I need to work harder. Mm-hmm. And that mentality, I think, is so contrary to the mindset that we gain from the Bible, from looking mm-hmm. at Jesus's life and looking at, you know, the way that God does things. Because it's not even about us, mm-hmm. you know, it's about what he wants us to learn, where he wants us to be. Mm-hmm. One of my buddies was actually telling me that if he became successful, or if he reached his level of success even a few months earlier, he would have missed out on this experience mm. that allowed him to connect to somebody that he connected with in a different state, that literally, if he wasn't able to connect with that guy, he wouldn't have, the information that he was able to pass along to him changed that guy's life.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, he's a coach. So he was like, yeah. if I didn't have that experience, I wouldn't have related to this guy oh. and would have missed out on being able to help him change his life. So we never know what God is up to. It's like, we're looking yeah. at it from, you know, right here, right now. Yeah. And God's looking at it from, you know, the bird's eye view.
Yeah. That brought up two things for me. Like, one, it's so true, because even from personal experience, like, the big thing I think people don't understand is, like, we want it now. We want success now. We want the money now. But like, can you actually like hold that? Because if you as a person are not developed far enough, like, if you're still in ego, if you're still in false idols, like, that success will break you. Cause like, that's what happened to me, is like, I actually learned just like yesterday, I saw the amount I was making is considered like the 1%. So I was yeah. in like the 1% of earners in the US, and it broke me like 2 years, 3 years of that, 2 years of that. And like, I couldn't do it because I was coming from a perspective that was like taking me down into darkness. And when your whole identity is in the instability of like how much money you're making or whatever, like, God is shaping you into who you are in every experience in order to bring you what you desire, what he has for you. Yeah. But like, if you get it too soon, you'll break. Like, you won't have the foundation. Yeah.
100%. What is the biggest myth that you believed about being successful prior to attaining it?
Oh, that it makes you happy or gives you safety. I feel like so much around money is about just the lack of safety that people feel around, like, just being able to survive or like provide for their family in this economy, which I hate. I don't watch the news. I don't participate in all that. Like, it's just purely, they're just trying to stress you out. Like, I truly believe it's just like kind of yeah. like brainwashing. But anyway, I think like, I thought I would feel safe at some point, or like it was enough. And I hear people who make like even way more than me. It's like, if that is your identity and if you're looking for your safety in money, like, you'll never feel safe.
Yeah.
And you'll never feel like you're good enough, because there's always someone doing better. There's always more you can do to make it. Like, and then you just burn out. And if your whole life is work, like, why are you working? Like, isn't it the point to have more freedom? Like,
right.
Yeah.
It's that work to live versus live to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's, for me, for a long time, it was live to work instead
yeah.
of working to live.
You can always make more.
You can always make more. Yeah. And so you said that you were on the path, you're making money, you're killing it. And then you said 2 years in,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. You broke down. So talk about that experience.
Okay. Can I touch on one thing you said before?
Absolutely.
That like is really exciting for me because it's a revelation God recently gave me, and it's similar to what you were saying. But for me, it's like I don't believe in labels, but I don't know if you want to call it ADD, but like I just have always had a ton of different interests, and I feel like I've seen it as a handicap, and I've tried to force myself into positions where it's like, oh, you only focus on one thing, but then like that just doesn't work for me. So I've always tried to force, or like I'm someone who's really straightforward and who really wants to move quickly once something can be done. Yeah. So like I don't do well in corporate environments. So when I worked at Google, like it was a really bad fit and like everyone was unhappy. But so I feel like most of my career, I tried to force myself into boxes of like that weren't authentic to who I am, instead of just seeing like God gave me so many gifts. Like I'm literally so good at so many things because of God, like all glory to him. But I tried to minimize that or focus on one. And it's like, no, he gave me all these gifts. And each of us, he gives us each so many gifts. So if you amplify like those gifts, instead of trying to fit into like the American culture or like the job culture, like whatever you've been brainwashed to believe is right for you to do, like instead just try to amplify what God's given you.
So good.
And then not only will you be happier, but like you'll be more successful. It's more sustainable. You won't burn out if you're doing something you truly like love and that lights you up.
So good. Yeah, so yeah, I was revelation. Same exact experience for me too. Like I thought I had to fit in a box because that's all we knew back. That's all I knew back then. Mm-hmm. So growing up in an Egyptian family or Middle Eastern family, my options were doctor, lawyer,
me
engineer.
Too. Yeah, same know? Russian. Literally,
it's doctor,
same.
Lawyer,
it's like Asian,
engineer.
Russian and Middle Eastern. It's yeah. The same, yeah,
and it's like I didn't have any interest in any of those things, and but that's the beautiful thing about the process, and that's why I really would encourage anybody that's listening right now to, if you're in this place of trying to figure out what you want to do, and you can't and you're not there yet, you don't know, just live your life, pursue your interests, get different jobs, and learn and grow in different ways. But it's so cool when you rely on God, how he leads you to the place that you are designed for.
Mm-hmm.
He leads you to the career or the purpose that he created you to be. And so it aligns with your personality. It aligns with your interests. It's something that will either bring you to life or give you fulfillment.
Yeah.
And when we're so consumed with the money and the provision, we end up becoming our own gods and making decisions based off of our limited experience and knowledge, because we've been around for 20, 30 years, 40 years, and God's been around for an infinity years.
Yeah,
so
right.
I trust him a little bit more. But yeah, the money will come if you're doing what you're passionate about.
Yeah.
The money will come when you're doing something that makes you happy. And if you have that, especially if you have that entrepreneurial spirit. Mm-hmm. I was super passionate about psychology. Oh. If I could do it all over again, I would go back probably and pursue psychology. But I saw people that were close in my life that did that weren't making a lot of money. I was like, I don't want to live that life.
Yeah.
So I went the complete opposite direction into business and real estate. Mm. But going back, if I could do it all over again, I probably would. I mean, I don't know if I would or not, but I know now that I could have made money doing that.
Yeah,
and just because it's who you are, not what you do.
Yeah, it's also so valid. Like, I think part of what's toxic about our culture is that it makes you think there's only a few options, even if you're not coming from like an immigrant family. Like, there's like, you have to make this much money, you have to like be, you know, business minded. Like, there's so many, like, that's like what we value as a culture. And especially if you're a man, if you're not that way, like, you're kind of like worthless.
Yeah.
And for women too, in a lot of ways, like a woman, like a stay-at-home mom, there's such like a big cultural uproar about how like that's like not as worthy as like working or something, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe not in our specific culture, but like right. in general. And I just want to say it's so valid, like no matter what you want to do, like there's not more worth to people who are like, you know, create billion-dollar businesses than there is for like someone who like, I don't know, if you love like being a coach on a high school team, like super valid. Like doing what you love will bring more purpose into your life and into other people's life. Like yeah. you will be doing God's work if you are doing what you love versus just like chasing money or chasing the dream.
Yeah. And just like you said, when, if we're, we place value or we value ourselves more based off of how much we make, like the guy yeah. that owns a, that runs a billion-dollar company.
Yeah.
We look at him as more valuable because we're looking at it through the world's perspective yeah. versus basing our identity and how God sees us. Yeah. God loves us and values us for who we are, not for, and I got this image yesterday that I didn't even really fully get to process through. I just remembered it right now, but I feel like God gave me this image of an artist that creates this piece of art. And he's excited to show the world this piece of art. And the people that he, that are looking at it are so interested in how much they can sell this piece of art, how much money they can make off of it, instead of appreciating the masterpiece.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is, that's us when we're not living, when we're not looking at life through, you know, an eternal perspective. Mm-hmm. We look at things based off of, and it's like money is so not valuable to this artist. He yeah. could care less about the money. Mm-hmm. He is just so enamored by the masterpiece that he created. And so when we look at ourselves through, when we're able to look at ourselves through God's perspective and see how much he really values us because he created us. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that he, what was it? What's the, how does the verse go? He like sewed us in our mother's womb or something.
Oh yeah. Before
you were born. Yeah. yeah. He
like knows the hairs on your head.
Yeah. He's just, it's, but it's hard for us to conceptualize mm-hmm. that type of love.
True.
You know, it's hard for us to, it's hard for me. I'll speak for myself to conceptualize that type of love because
it's usually conditional.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's how, and that's the, I think that's the probably the hardest part or the most challenging part about the Christian walk for me is like, I understand it. I know the information in my mind, but to get that mind heart connection of when it's like, it, you know it and you're living by it.
Yeah.
That is, that's the work right there.
It's faith. Like the whole walk is just faith, but it's, it can be hard. Yeah. I remember he broke down so many of my heart barriers around that specific thing of like, even like my parents who are amazing, like because there's so much fear around money, it's like, it's conditional. Like you have to be a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or else like you're not good enough. And even though they'll love you, like it's like not quite as happy, but yeah, that idea of unconditional love, we don't have another example of it. So if you don't know it, it's like hard to really let yeah. it in. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it also has to be something that God reveals to you or opens your heart up to. True. I don't think it's possible to will your way into that one. Like it has to be a revelation from God, I think.
Yeah. You have to be desperate. Like people always ask me, how'd he move so quickly in your life? And it's because personally I ran out of things to try. I tried everything and nothing worked. And yeah, we can go back to the how I got burnt out in the 2 years. But like when you get so desperate, and I like our pastor talks about being hungry and never not being hungry because there's always new revelation. There's always growth.
Right.
You're never gonna know everything. You're not God. And like I was just desperate. Like I just needed something to be different because I was at the end of my path that I could figure out, you know? Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I think that's very similar to my experience as well. I was desperate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think like most people that I talk to, that have really had a life-transforming experience with God came from a place of desperateness.
Yeah.
It wasn't a casual seeking of God. It was seeking with your whole heart, your whole mind, and your whole soul.
Yeah.
And that's when you'll find him, you know?
Yeah.
That's when you'll find him, is when you seek him with everything that you have. That's when it's like God is the most valuable, exclusive, you know, treasure that you can find. And even earthly treasure, you don't find earthly treasure by stumbling upon it or casually seeking it. You have to, you go on, you're on a mission, and that's your main focus, is you're trying to, you're going after it with all you got.
Yeah.
And that's when you get it. And so I think it's interesting that we think that we're going to reach God by seeking him casually. I'm not saying like that God's not going to save us or anything, but to really encounter God, to really experience like a miracle in your life that that changes your life, requires a level of disparity that most people never become humble enough to get to.
That's true.
Fortunately.
Yeah. That's so true. And yeah, he had to get rid of, the last year for me has been him stripping just like ego away and identity around money and false idols.
Yeah.
So like, it's true. I think especially for entrepreneurs, like you do end up, if you're not walking with God on that journey, like you do end up, like you said, becoming your own God or having so much ego that you kind of get lost. And I don't think that those paths, even if those paths, because I've heard this before, you can succeed without God, but it's not going to give you what you think success is going to give you. It's not going to give you peace. It's not going to give you safety. It's not going to give you love, which is in the end all that we're seeking, whether it's through money, through relationship, like those are what we're, the fruits of the spirit are what we're seeking, and you'll never find that without God. So you can have worldly success. Like there's plenty of people who are in the dark, like
100%.
Who are very rich, but that whole idea of like, what is it? What's that verse where it's like
riches without sorrow?
No, the one where it's like, what's the point of like gaining everything if you lose your soul?
Yeah.
Like then you have nothing.
Yeah.
You're in poverty.
What good is it to gain the whole world but lose your soul?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think, and that's the difference between pursuing success or pursuing something out of a calling or a purpose versus seeking it for identity. When you're seeking it for identity, it's never going to make you happy, because we're designed to be fulfilled by God and God alone.
That's true.
And so when we're seeking for a position, a status, a dollar amount to satisfy us, it's going to leave us empty and longing for more. And we think that, okay, so maybe it's because I don't have enough.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's because I need more.
Yeah.
Maybe if that, the Rolls Royce, maybe the private jet, you know, maybe these vacations.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's empty, because nothing and nobody can satisfy us apart from God. He created us. Mm-hmm. That's a thing I think I wish people understood. Like, the one that created us to only be fulfilled by him. We can't change that. There's nothing we can do to change that. We are the created ones. Mm-hmm. And as much autonomy as God has given us, he's not given us the autonomy to change how he created us.
Yeah.
And I think the faster we can accept the fact that that is just the way God designed us, is to be fulfilled by him, is we'll stop seeking everything else.
Yeah.
And finally surrender and say, okay, God,
how do I do this?
How do I get my identity from you? And during that process is when we truly find him.
Yeah. And that was like my exact journey, is like every big success I had, I felt so empty. So I was like, oh, well, you know, maybe I need to start my own business. Oh, well, maybe I just need to ramp it up and make more money.
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe I need to hire a team. Oh, well, maybe like I need to hire a different coach. Maybe I need to do it in a different format. And just like I kept having these successes that felt empty. And yes, it's fun to go on a vacation,
yeah,
you know, or fly first class or private or whatever. But that fun is very short-lived and does not give you identity. And then your identity. Why does it do that? Is it just with me or is it doing it?
No, it's not just okay. You.
lost my train of thought. You're can I blow my nose?
Yeah, go
the
for
tea
it.
Is making me sniffle.
Yeah, wait till you saw the other one.
Oh, yeah?
Even worse.
It's not bad as
it should
be.
I know.
A woman would have it filled.
It's a bachelor pad.
It's nice, though. You fooled me with the living room.
I don't even use that bathroom, but that's probably why.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's the guest bathroom. And we're back after a short commercial break sponsored by Charmin. It's a great way to blow your nose. If you're out of tissues, toilet paper.
Okay.
So yeah, you were gonna talk about the period where you kind of hit rock bottom or just had a breakdown. Mm-hmm. So talk about like where you were in that season.
Yeah.
And what led up to all that?
Yeah. So I had my own business for a while, and then I started the gut health business in 2020 because it was like, you know, the shutdown and everyone was so worried about health. And I don't know, I just felt moved to like do something that matters more because I was just doing content creation for brands and it felt pretty empty. So I started that, and I was just like in darkness. Like I never knew God. My testimony is that like I grew up, I'm a Jew from communist Russia that like moved to liberal San Francisco. So like I just never knew God. I never knew Jesus. I only knew as like a cult, right? As religion, not as faith. And so I just didn't know. And I was always searching for meaning and purpose. And I looked in all the wrong places, obviously. So like relationships, I looked at like Eastern religions, like Buddhism, and then I got into New Age. So like to just set the scene, I was like deeply in New Age at that point. I had moved to LA. It's such a big thing here, New Age spirituality. So I was like tarot, witchcraft, like all that stuff. And there's like a big entrepreneurship culture within that, but it's like really dark too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, very like
what's
sexual.
That like? Oh.
It's strange. It's like a lot of coaches, but it's like, you're supposed to like be free to express and just like very heavily on the sexual sin. And that never felt comfortable. And I just thought I was repressed, which is so funny. And it was like, you know, there's so many, it's just so weird to think about now, but there's so many like female business coaches that teach you to like create through like orgasm stuff, like crazy weird stuff.
Wow.
Weird stuff. So I'm in this like container of like LA spirit, like dark spirituality, like just very crazy, and trying to have a business that the format of it was very masculine in terms of like high ticket sales. It's just like, I don't think you can get around sales calls being like pretty aggressive for the most part.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah.
So just even the format of my business was like starting to burn me out, which is why I tried to build out a team. I thought that, you know, when you're doing something, like I was good at sales calls and I had a high closing rate and everything, but it's like, it didn't feel good to me. But there's a lot of pressure in the coaching community to just like push through it. It's like, even when you listen to leaders, like, it's always just like, you know, it'll, you know, you just have to push through. You have to be successful. Like, it's hard for everybody. Like, blah,
blah,
blah.
Any means necessary.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That hustle culture. And so I just kept pushing and pushing. And so, like, I think it was, they had, like, 3 years, November of 2020. No, November of 2022. So 2 years of, like, just pushing. And I was making, like, a lot of money. I had a team I had built out doing calls for me and stuff. But I just, like, honestly, I had my biggest month ever. And I had recurring income coming in. I had sales calls closing. Like, And I just like shut down because it was like a lot of money. It was like my parents were so happy and proud. I was going on these big trips, like flying my mom out, like I was in a toxic relationship too that like also was part of like the downfall of my mental state. And then I just kept searching for like more meaning and purpose. And what's crazy about New Age spirituality is that it does teach you that you're God. And so everything is dependent on you. So like when you're not doing well, it's your fault because like, you know, you don't believe enough that you could do it. Like it's your trauma that you haven't gotten through enough. It's like called the dark night of the soul where you're constantly just like diving deeper into your trauma so that you can like push through it. It's just like so toxic looking back, obviously, with like the clarity and the truth of Christ. Like there's no love in it. It's just you're isolated and then this universe like only delivers to you when you're perfect. And it's just like so much pressure. And so I just was like, I just shut down. I had my biggest month ever for Black Friday.
Yeah.
After Black Friday in November. And I was just like, I just quit. And I did it in a very poor way. I've seen a lot of business owners do it in a better way where they like, you know, tell their clients that they're taking a break. I just like, didn't respond to anyone. My team, clients, ghosted. Like I just like full on had like a breakdown and I was like suicidal. I didn't care anymore because honestly, like everything was going right. And I was like so unfulfilled. I didn't have like self-worth. I was so emotional, like riding the waves of my identity being and how much money I'm making, how many sales calls I can close, how I can train my team, my parents, you know, feeling like I'm successful, like everyone around me being so impressed by my achievements. Just like, it was just crushing weight of like every, like I was finally perfect and I could scale this format to be like 90K months was like my next, you know, like achievement with my coach. And it was like on the horizon and everything was like perfect. And I'd been married before too, so I had already had like everything being perfect moments. I owned a house in San Francisco. Like this was prior. This was like 5 years before.
Yeah.
Also didn't give me any fulfillment. None of it did. And then, so when everything's perfect and everyone around you thinks you're perfect and everyone on social media thinks you're perfect and I have a huge following on social media, it's just like, and then you just, none of it makes you feel good. And I was the most depressed, the most anxious, like the most like, after that, I became suicidal because I was just like, literally, I can't find meaning. Like, there is no meaning in this world. Like, I don't want to be here because this money isn't making any sense to me. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, helping other people, like, maybe a little bit, but, like, still, like, wasn't enough. Like, my parents being happy, not enough. Like, everything that we're taught, like, you achieve and you'll feel good. Like, I just felt worse and worse. And it didn't help that I was in this like darkness container of New Age. But and then for the next year, so Christ really chased me down in December of 2024. So that literal year, I was just basically, I feel like dead. Like I didn't really do anything. I was depressed and suicidal and I just didn't care. So like I lost all my money and like lost everything. But Christ like has restored it and use it for good because when he found me, and the way he found me is crazy, like just the amount of people he had to use to get to my heart.
Can you talk about it a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. It's like a long, I mean, it's like a lot, but I'll try to shorten it.
Yeah.
I was single and unhappy. And I saw like a poster in Manhattan Beach where I was living. Also, my goal is to live in Manhattan Beach, which is one of like the richest cities like in the US, and I did, and I was paying a ton of, I could afford to pay a ton of money. I was by the beach, like I walked on the beach, like everything was perfect, like you just had to set the scene.
The dream.
I had everything.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't have the relationship, but on the outside, kind of, I did. Also, like, my body looked perfect at the gym. Like, I never, that was something I just never like let go of. Like, that was my one thing, was like going to the gym. I'll always go to the gym.
Nothing wrong with that.
But anyway, yeah, perfect. So I saw this flyer in Manhattan Beach for like a singles event. It was around Christmas time and it had no information, which for me was perfect because like I just like loved chaos because I was in so much darkness, and like my background is like Burning Man and like, you know, these like experiences where everything is just like unclear and chaotic, and like,
yeah.
And that was like the darkness I grew up in and knew, so it was like comfortable, whatever. So then anyway, it was like no information. It was like just like show up. It was like, okay, great. So I just like went, and it turned out to be this couple who ministers to Christian singles, and it didn't say anything about being Christian, and it like, praise God, was a lukewarm event. It was the first event, because honestly, if they had gone into like preaching or if even it was like prayer, an Ocean's event,
you would have been out of there.
Oh, like God really orchestrated the perfect like step by step for me, because it was super lukewarm. There were some drunk dudes there. Like I was like, okay, this is Christian cool, whatever, I'm down. And then I just like totally was so encaptured, I don't know, like the woman that led it was a couple, she was just so joyful, and I was like, what are you doing?
I want that.
Yeah, like I can't achieve that, like what are you doing? So then we met for tea and we talked, and I was I had just started reading this New Age book where they literally, the dude, this is some like author from the 50s, he takes Bible verses and he translates them into New Age. So it's like God is like your God, and then like Jesus is like your ego, and then so it's like everything just like has a parallel.
Looks like this big.
No, oh, okay. No, but it is. There's a lot like that, honestly. But it, like the fact that he was literally, it was like just so strange, because then I started, like they invited me to their small group, and I was trying in my little brain that like didn't understand what a relationship with Christ meant to like. I was like, oh, so this is like your ego, like your God. And like, I was like bringing that into their home, into their Bible study, and like, praise God, they were so patient with me and so loving. And so they like helped ease me into like understanding even like what the Bible said. And then I gave my life to Christ when we watched this 3-hour long documentary about this interview of, I recommend it. I don't know, maybe you can link it in the show notes or whatever, but like it's this documentary about this African like warlock in Africa who like was sold to a witch when he was a baby and married to like the 60-year-old witch. It's the craziest story. And then he like was like this big warlock in Africa who like killed people and like brought people into the dark side and all this stuff. And then Jesus just like freaking found him, and like now he's like a church planner in Africa, and it's brought so many people to Christ.
That's crazy.
So at the end of that, like the stuff in that documentary is wild. So at the end of this 3-hour documentary, he starts talking to like the viewer and is like, if he can save me, he can save you. And I've always judged myself really heavily, and so like the stuff I know I've done, I was like questioning, you know, the love of the Father and if like really I could be saved and if I deserved it. And so hearing all his crazy stuff, and I was like, oh, maybe he can save me, because he saved this dude, like what the heck, and now he's like doing good, you know, and I want to do good, and I want to feel purposeful. And so I gave my life to Christ like silently when this dude was like repeat this after me, like the sinner's prayer or whatever.
Yeah.
And then so then there were 3 events that happened.
So before you move on, did anything change for you in that moment when after you said that prayer? Did you feel any different at all?
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah, which is interesting. But then, so then there were 3 events that this couple held, and the third was a failed one. And now Jody, the woman, and I like kind of joke, maybe not joke, that those were for me. Like God had her do those for me, because like I got saved to them. But the third one was like a failed Valentine's Day one. Yeah. And basically no one showed up. So it was just like 5 of us, and we were all just like hanging out, like playing a game. And I met this girl, we didn't exchange info, this girl, Marcy. 2 weeks later, I'm walking on the beach, and I see her, and I run up to her. And later she tells me her friend was like, is this girl gonna beat you up? I guess because I'm tattooed. And I was like, do I really look that scary? But anyway, I was like, Marcy, we met at this event, right? And I was like, I'm looking for a church, because like Jody didn't really have a church that she went to. And Marcy was like, this was a Saturday, she's like, I'm going to a church tomorrow, do you want to come with me? And I was like, yes. And she told me later again, she didn't think I would show up, but I show up. So the next day, and that church like taught me Christ's love, because like that pastor and his wife, Lori and Kurt, they like really like taught me what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus. Because at first I was like, some dude is like around all the time, like when I'm showering, like he's with me, like this is weird, like what do you mean Jesus is always there, like who's this guy? So anyway, I was like, not okay.
That's funny.
Yeah, I didn't know. And I think there's so many people who just don't have access. And this is why I feel like what I'm like so hyped about right now is being like, I'll come back to the story, but being like bold Christians that like speak of the truth in the world, because like, I didn't know. No one ever told me.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Before we go on, yeah. I heard this thing that really kind of simplified it beautifully. Like, Jesus calls us to be witnesses, not attorneys. Mm-hmm. And attorneys try to convince people mm-hmm. of something.
Yeah.
Witnesses just tell of what they saw.
Yeah.
What they saw and what they mm-hmm. experienced. And so when we just share with people
yeah.
what God did for us, what Jesus did for us, we don't have to try to convince them. That's yeah. the Holy Spirit's job. All we have to do is share.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing now. So
that's true. We're not the Savior. God's the Savior.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what is the verse? I need to learn verses better. It's by the testimony and the blood of Christ that we're saved. So like our partnership with God like is so important.
So good.
To help others. Anyway, so I went to this church. They taught me, I started going to a small group. I'd never had like loving community. I realized like I'd had so much darkness and so much judgment and conditional relationships.
Yeah.
And so theirs was like, they just like, they watched me cry. They like supported me. They cared about me. It was like so cool. And it's like an older congregation. So it's like a family. And I love my family, but they're not saved yet. And I pray for them, but like, yeah, so they, like, I feel like really helped heal my heart. And then I found Oceans on social media through, like, a old contact in the influencer world who, do you know Jess Bailey? I don't know. Anyway, her and her husband are, like, a big part of our church. And so I found Oceans through that. And, you know, like, Oceans might look not the best in social media if you it just looks very abundant, right? So there's like luxury designer purses and stuff, and I was like, either this is gonna be great or this is gonna be terrible. And it was amazing, so I went and I was sold. And then I went on Sunday, and then I went to Sephorina and David's group on Tuesday, and like Sephorina chased me down too, because I like applied to her group and other groups kind of rejected me because I'd never been to church to the Oceans. Wild. But she was like, come, and then she's like, let me save you a seat on Sunday. Like, she really helped me feel welcome. And that's like huge too, is like showing people the love of Christ, I think, the heart of Christ, the welcoming heart of Christ. So I got baptized California. I also got baptized in a hot tub with my other church in Manhattan Beach. I moved out to Oceans in July after like driving, you know, almost daily to like groups and church for 3 months, and I was like, I can't make that drive. It's like an hour and a half drive each way.
Yeah.
I once got stopped by the cops because I was late to church, and I was like, my Bible's right there.
Did that work?
Speeding. Yeah, he was pretty nice.
So key takeaway, carry your Bible in the car with you, especially if you're speeding.
Done. Yeah. Show over. Yeah, it's a lot. I like skipped a lot, but it's just God, like, the cool thing is like God knows each of us personally, and then he reaches each of us personally. He like knows what you need personally.
Yeah.
It's not like a blanket statement. Like, so he reached me in the only way that I could be reached, which was like very soft, very non-pushy.
Subtle.
Very subtle. Yeah. Lots of different people, just like step by step.
Man, you know, like, that was awesome. Like, I'm glad that you shared that piece. Like, that helped me. I never thought about the different steps that God for my life, like the different, like, you know, how he knows us individually and uniquely, and he loves us so much and he's so patient that he will set different things up, different markers, different people, different events and circumstances to lead us. And like that's pretty much our whole lives is just him kind of just drawing us in and pulling us in subtly. And he knows what is going to work for us and what's not.
He was like, I know a singles event's going to get her. I know she's going to go. I'm like, okay.
That would have worked for me too.
Got me. There you go.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So cool. So you're on the other side after your breakdown, after you gave up your business and, you know, you kind of just cold turkey left it.
Yeah.
Right. And then now God's restoring your life and you're feeling alive again. Right. And so what's the journey now? going back into business. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other thing, like, God's timing is perfect. And you hear that, but, like, it's conceptual until you experience it. But he took, like, a whole year. So from that December, he, like, stripped even more away out of my life. He stripped all friendships. He stripped all money. He stripped all career opportunities. He, like, stripped everything and started restoring it in his way. And by the way, you asked, like, if anything changed when I gave my life to Jesus. When I got baptized at Baptist California in the ocean, which we have another Baptist California coming up in May, and then June is Baptist America, when I got out of the water, like, and actually I had studied what baptism means, which is so cool. You, like, die and then you're reborn with him as a new creation, like, wiped clean by his blood and the living water. Like, literally I got up, I was celibate, which for me is, like, pretty wild. Like, I'd never believed in that. I thought that was crazy. Like, instantly, he instantly cured, like, so much of my heart hurt. So, like, I really was born, like, as a new creation. And it's so cool because the enemy will try to tell you, no, you're this person, like, remember what you did. But what's so cool is when you give your life to Christ and you get baptized, and why baptism is so important, I think, is because, like, you are really, like, you rise, you die with him, and then you rise with him, and then you are clean. Like, in the eyes of God, you are then perfect because he paid for everything you've done in the past. So everything you've done in the past, like, it's literally not even you. Like, so you get to just make a clean break with who you were, your patterns. Like, you get to just literally start fresh. And so anything that the enemy comes in and says, oh, remember when you did this or that, Julia? Remember when you did that, Josh? Like, it is lies. It's lies, it's shadows, it's, like, not who you are. And so that's good. Like, the freedom that God gives us in identity in him is, like, we just get to be the good version of ourselves that, like, all this baggage might prevent you from being the present moment.
So that happened to you right after your baptism. You said
celibacy
and feeling like a new person. So, like, how did you feel? How did it feel going? Like, how did you know? How did it feel? Like, describe that experience.
Well, it's so cool. It's like when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, he does change your desires. So, like, we have this Adamic nature, right? We're born in with this sinful nature, but, like, the Spirit cleanses us of that, and that's, like, the hole that we have, right? Like, the God-shaped hole in our heart. The Spirit fills that, and he's, like, our protector and our, what is it, our, like, guide or whatever?
Shepherd, yeah.
Yeah. So, basically, he changes your desires, and this is, like, I think when people say, like, I'm Christian, but they still swear, they still have sex, like, all this stuff, like, you don't really, it's not a judgment thing, but, like, you have not allowed the Spirit into you to come onto you, because when you do, when the Spirit's inside of you, all those desires are gross. Like, you no longer want them. Or maybe, like, your old Adamic nature is like, well, that used to be fun when I did drugs and hooked up with people. But then, like, the Spirit inside you will be like, no, like, you're not that person. Like, you don't want that. So it doesn't even feel like you're giving anything up. Because at least in my experience, the things I went away right away were, like, I didn't give them up. They were just, I was just not that person anymore. Like, truly the Spirit changes your desires. And the further and deeper you walk and the more you're obedient, the more you allow him to do that, he will just continue to, like, what's the word?
Sharpen.
Transform. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, so what I was saying about timing is, like, he had to strip away everything so that he could rebuild it with the foundation of, like, my new identity in Christ.
So good.
Because, like, Christ is our rock, right? And anything that you base your identity around in the world is going to be unstable, because as humans, we're unstable. Our emotions are unstable. Money's unstable. The world's unstable. There's war. There's whatever. The economy's, everything's unstable. Yeah. Your health, like, your relationships. But, like, Christ is the truth, and he will never be unstable. Like, he is stability. So then he's just rebuilding everything in my life from that foundation, so that way it's like a process, but it's a process that is fulfilling and actually brings fruit, versus just, like, willy-nilly everything just, you know, great, bad, great, bad. Like, as humans, we're constantly, like, emotions. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in the business. Like, he's restored, he gave me a home. He gave me, which had been like a hard place for me for a while, for a lot of reasons. Like, there was demonic presence with New Age, and then like I was lonely from my divorce. Like, I lived alone in beautiful spaces, but I was always lonely. So he gave me a home with a family. He restored friendships and community, that like people who really care. So now I feel like we're on to business, and I listened to a John Vivere thing, which was so cool. I'm getting so excited. Sorry. Not sorry. But it was like in the Bible, when he's creating stuff, he creates like place. He creates, there's something else that I always forget, but then there's like purpose, and then there's person. So like for me, walking that path in faith, like knowing that, like, cause I'm still single, like, and a lot of people like struggle with single seasons, yeah, but it's like, I find so much value in it because I can see God restored place for me. Like a home in the church and literally where I live, he's restored, he's restoring purpose. Like, I had no energy or desire to like do work. Like, I was just so burnt out. But he, as of January 1st, truly, he's just like skyrocketed me forward. He brought really successful Christian women into my life as mentors, that are helping me rebuild and restructure in a way that I can serve more people as like a low ticket offer, but also like more passive, so I don't have to sell. So I can just grow like my audience as I would love to do anyway, and spread the truth and like serve others more, yeah, many more people. So I don't know if any of that made sense, but like, he's just totally like, yeah, if you just trust his process and you read his word where he literally tells you everything,
yeah,
then I don't, like, I know it can be difficult, but it's just not like difficult with God, like, is still up here compared to like easy with the world, you know, like your worst day with God is still like leaps and bounds better than your best day in the world, if that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. awesome. That's so cool.
I just talked like your ear off.
It's all bars. It's all so good. Yeah. I think there's so many times, so long in my life, I had misconception that, you know, going all in with Christ and giving him everything, surrendering everything, was going to mean that, I literally thought that when God asked me to go all in, that he was going to send me to be a missionary in Africa, because
give
that's
up your whole life.
Yeah. It's just like, I thought that all I had seen up to that point in my life was for all in people, all in Christians, was ministers and missionaries.
Right.
I had never seen, a successful entrepreneur that was living in his purpose, and glorifying God through what he's doing. And that was his calling, you know, it was only, you know, so, and then not, it didn't help that, like, I had people that were like, oh, you're going to be a pastor one day. And I'm like, I don't want to be a pastor, you know, like, pastors are broke. Every single pastor I knew at that point was broke. But yeah, it's just, that's why I love this conversation so much, because it just shows, like, God gave you certain desires, God gave you certain interests and gifts, right?
Yeah.
And those gifts were to make money.
Yeah.
You know, doing something that you love, but to make money. And this, and, you know, even though he stripped it all away, it wasn't to take it away from you and punish you. It wasn't to tell you, hey, this is not what I want you to do. It's, hey, let me show you how to do it in a way that is going to fulfill you. It's going to, that you build your foundation on me. So your identity is not in the ups and downs of this world and business life. And so cool.
I think a lot of people get confused with this idea of like, well, I have to give up all my desires. So if I could like try to put it so simply, the more that you walk with God, like, God did put your desires into you, but then they get all confused with the world and the pressure and like what the world idolizes.
Right.
And then when you walk with God and the Holy Spirit, like, the true desires from God are just amplified, because that's your will and his will. And that's where he wants you to go. He didn't make us like you know, business people just for fun. Like that is our passion and our purpose. Yeah. And that's where we can create the most change for his kingdom and the most impact. But like also the desires of the world fall away because the Holy Spirit removes those. So then you're just on this path side by side walking with God, which is like the fastest path to what you want and what God wants for you. So it's, people think it, like you were saying, there's like, they have to give up everything to walk with God, but it's the opposite. You'll just drop the baggage and you pick up his yoke, which is easy because he gave you the desires of your heart anyway, like the true desires of your heart. And Imagine how much impact we get to have in the business world where we can use influence and money for good, where like the enemy has really stolen a lot of that. And there's so much darkness in those worlds.
Absolutely. And I think for me, in my life, God had to make sure I understood that those things can't satisfy me.
Yeah.
And he didn't want there to be any idols, anything standing in the way between me and him before he could actually bless me with the things that I wanted, because God's never going to give us anything that's going to harm us. And so if he knows that, you know, the desire in and of itself isn't wrong or sinful, but the reason that we want it is wrong. Mm-hmm. We want it sometimes because we think it's going to satisfy us, because we think it's going to give us the identity. It's going to make us more confident. It's going to make us feel better about ourselves. It's going to make other people look at us a certain way. Mm-hmm. And when we want it for those reasons, God's not going to give it to us, even if the desire is good. Like, the desire to run a business is good. The desire to make money is good and to serve people is good. But what is the intention and what is the motivation behind it? And once our feet are planted on that solid foundation of I know who I am in God, I have value because of what he did for me, who he says I am, not because of what I have, not because of what I drive or how much money is in the bank. Then he can give it to you because it's not going to kill you.
Yeah. That's the thing, like, I hope people hear is, like, it's not that he's being mean or withholding. It's he's literally saving you kind of from yourself because he knows better than we do. And I think, like, when ego's in the way, you can't even, like, what you were saying about your friend, like, well, that was, I don't know if that was ego. But for me, like, I couldn't have certain experiences or enter certain situations, like the mentorship I'm in now. If I had had the ego that he stripped me of, like, I wouldn't be here in that mentorship, because like I thought I was better than that, you know, I thought I knew more or whatever. And so sometimes God even tries to give you opportunities that you don't see or can't take because the worldly desires or ego is in the way.
So good. I could talk about this for hours and hours.
Probably like 2 hours later again.
But I want to thank you for coming, and I want to thank you for sharing your story. I mean, I'm blessed by it. You know, just hearing your story and seeing how God was so intentional about reaching you. Was super encouraging for me, and I can't wait for people to hear it. So.
Thanks. Yeah. Thank you for creating this space and for speaking boldly about God. Like, that's like the big revelation I'm in now, is like, we really have to be bold because people just don't know, and the enemy is bold. So like, we're in this spiritual warfare where every day the enemy's trying to fill everyone's minds with darkness. It's the news, social media, like, everything, if you think about it, is trying to push you down. And so if you know God and you know the truth, like, I just hope people get really bold, because we're kind of like the enemy in terms of like the mainstream is kind of winning right now.
Why don't you pray a prayer for those who are listening for boldness?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Lord God, thank you so much for this space and this time. Thank you for Josh for creating this and allowing different God-fearing people to come in and speak your truth, Lord. And I just raise up everyone who listens to this, everyone who's listening to my voice and our voices. I just pray for boldness. I pray for you to put your armor over them, re-anoint them with your oil, with your living water, Lord, and give them the boldness that you consistently speak over us in your word in the Bible, Lord. Give us boldness to stand up to the enemy, to fight, Lord. Give us boldness that when we're in situations where we see the enemy or we see something being done against you, God, that we stand up for your kingdom, just like the Acts church, the early church, Lord. There was no fear of persecution, the thing that mattered. The purpose and what gives us purpose, Lord, is to raise up your kingdom and to turn, what's the verse? make disciples out of nations, Lord. Amen. That is like our biggest purpose. You've given us truth and wisdom, Lord, and you continue to fill us. And I just pray that you give revelation, truth, and wisdom to everyone listening, and that you spread this to everyone who needs to hear this, and that they can create an impact in their environment as well. In your name, Lord, we pray.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.